are you people? It is the Starship Rokan Show. Offer another day of broadcast insolence. We're just trying to help mom out with some problems. She's having a little bit. She had a leak in her new house. So I was just over there helping her with the leak. Isn't it amazing? She leaves the family, and I'm still going over there, and I'm fixing a leak.
Well, it's because, you know, that uncle was busy, you know.
Or at least she's calling you over and not the plumber. Or having a lot of pizzas delivered.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been watching that.
Or having the mailman come in to help her out with something.
There is a guy who shows up in a pickup truck with cowboy boots, though, and it worries me a little bit.
A lot of tattoos.
Yeah.
Looks like he does a lot of...
He's a lot younger and more fit than I am, though, and I've noticed he's just been sauntering in and out of the house a lot. Sometimes that pickup truck is parked there, like, in the middle of the night. Not that I'm waking up and looking, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, and he comes out in different clothes. It's crazy.
He leaves it running. He's in and out of there.
My God.
What just happened?
What does your mother want out of me? All right. So anyway, so that's... poor Anna DeVlantis is... she had quite a show today, I will tell you, because there's so much going on. As she was talking about the police superintendent situation, we'll be dealing with that a little bit later on. I should point out that we're going to be doing Row Giving today.
Oh,
that's exciting.
Yes, it's Giving Tuesday.
Yes.
So we are going to be giving away something twice an hour.
Wow. Awesome.
Twice an hour. And we're going to start right now. Right now, caller number 19, 312-981-7200 rips us off for a $50 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. You're giving, we're giving. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. I think I might like it better than Thanksgiving.
God knows I do. Now, I will point out that Lou Malnati's has become my best friend since your mom left. I'm not kidding about that. I have actually had pizza for dinner and lunch and no breakfast. I haven't had no breakfast for like 4 days in a row because the schedule has just been so busy.
All paper plates, too, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so napkins. Actually, paper towels. I just put them in paper towels and walk around with them.
Garbage cans piling up with boxes and... Yeah. Bottles of liquor and whatnot. The
fridge only has beer and like condiments.
That's condiments, yes.
Yeah.
You don't want to keep those in the refrigerator.
That sounds like my fridge. Just beer and like 17 different bottles of barbecue sauce for some reason. And all sorts of hot sauce. That's basically my bachelor pad fridge right now.
Right, and pieces of pizza. Yeah. Just pizza that's not even in the box anymore because you lost the box somehow. Right. I open up my liquor cabinet and there's just empty bottles of liquor that I put back in to remind me to go buy more. That's a bad sign.
And that is that moment when I walk the garbage can down to the end of the driveway for pickup day, and it's just rattling with bottles and pizza boxes are poking out the top.
I hate when it leaks the beer trail, too, because you're like, oh, no, don't get on my shoes.
Hey, I want to point something out. Now, Kevin, on our group text last night, sent us all a rundown, a chart of how the Bears could make the playoffs.
Yes, and I should credit Mark Potash from the Sun-Times.
Yes, we love Mark Potash.
He's been kind of keeping track with this little chart, and he put that up last night, and it's a possibility, Ro.
The Vikings did lose.
Vikings lost. I mean, if that opens up the door a little bit.
Cracks it open.
We're peeking through with one
actually,
eye.
You know what it is? You know how sometimes you open up a door and you just keep it so the latch is just sort of at the door's edge and you're just hoping that, you know, let somebody in and then somehow the door slams shut on its own?
Well, if they win Thursday night, it kind of pops open just a pinch.
It does. It would just slide a little.
It would slide off the hinge.
Yeah, if they lose, it's over.
It's pretty much over, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then the door gets... slam shut, locked, and the key gets thrown away. So, there's hope. Mark Potash, if you check him out, he's got this little chart he's been putting together. It's so funny to see Bears fans. I'm getting text messages from buddies. They're going to the playoffs, man. Oh, they're going to do it. I can already see the headlines. I'm like, okay, guys. Get ready for heartbreak again.
The only hope that the Bears have, I think, right now, is a pandemic flu outbreak. Or a mechanical on an airplane. I think that's about the only hope. But
yeah, did anyone swab that Patriots flight?
Yeah,
by any chance?
I'm just thinking that's
what are they selling that for?
Right. Oh, look what happened to the Patriots. We need a Patriot to go over. Who did the Patriots just play? They didn't play. They played
the Texans.
Texans. Yeah, that doesn't count for us.
And they're playing the Chiefs coming up.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, Sunday.
That's good because we got the Chiefs the following week, right? Or no, in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. And, you know, Minnesota, the Rams have a tough schedule. I mean, they got Seattle, Dallas, San Francisco, and Arizona, which is a win. But Minnesota plays Detroit, the Chargers, Packers, and Bears.
Okay. All right. Hmm. Oh, boy. They just got to win Thursday. They got to win Thursday night. Okay. That one's for you, Mr. Patel, down in our convenience store. He's like, are you going to talk about Bears, Mr. Rowe? And I said, yes, we are, Mr. Patel. There you go. All right, let's check in now with the skies and the roads. Here's Lauren Lapka.
For News at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donlan, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV News at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
All right. Speaking of Chicago's very own WGN, look who's here.
Hey, I got to tell you, you guys sold me. I'm on this DrinkWorks website right now. I'm like, well, they got a mojito. You can do a margarita.
Yeah. I know. Everybody's talking about it.
We need this in the newsroom.
And we have it. It's in our office right now.
Man.
It has been deboxed, and we're playing with it, and it is amazing.
Tell you what, who would have thought you could improve upon the Knarble wagon, but you guys may have found a way.
But Keurig, that's the funny thing about this. Keurig is a company that it revolutionized the drinking of coffee, right?
Yes.
Just changed how everybody operates. And there are other companies that do similar kind of products. But, you know, Keurig is, it's just easy, and the pods are available everywhere. So now they're doing this with alcohol. It's like, it was like such... Because that's the two things I drink, coffee and alcohol.
And alcohol.
Right.
And you know how they've talked about how the Keurig pods don't decompose as well as they should, you know, over 20 or 30 years? Think of the upside. On the DrinkWorks side, we could all just be licking the pods even after we're done, you know?
Ew.
We'll save ours
gonna
for you, I guess,
I'm going to get that last drop.
Oh, God. All right. So that's...
So anyway, bottom line, send your device over when you guys are done testing it out, and we'll put it through the rigors of the WGN TV newsroom testing process.
There you go, Ro. You know what to get Ben for Christmas.
I do. Well, I'm already getting Ben something for Christmas.
Does he know? Laugh looks like he knows.
Yeah, he knows.
Yeah, he knows.
Yeah. I got him a hall pass for Christmas is what I got him. So.
It's the boys trip part two.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's international.
What could go wrong?
It's international.
Oh,
we're leaving the country this time. Edition.
Please don't get arrested.
Yeah.
Okay. And I won't be driving. I won't stop at a stop sign on the way home. For a prolonged period of time.
We had our own problems here. All right. Let's talk about the Eddie Johnson situation, because I got to tell you something, Ben. I'm now even more confused than I was before.
What confuses you, my son?
Well, it's this, that the mayor's response to this has been so muscular.
Mm-hmm.
It begs the question of what exactly, other than what has come out now in the newspaper reporting today, and the Sun Times and Tribune, that Eddie Johnson was drinking at a restaurant on LaSalle Street until well into the morning with an unidentified woman, or one paper identifies her or describes her, another one doesn't, but not his spouse or member of his family, as far as we can tell, right? And so that leaves out, so that part of the report, and that got leaked, obviously, right? I mean, that's, we know how this thing goes. It wasn't like it was, I mean, it's great reporting because they were able to catch the leaks, but somebody wants that out there,
yes,
to embarrass him. And it leaves the implication that he's out, you know, carousing and womanizing, right? So now the question is, first of all, he does acknowledge he made a mistake on that night.
What happened is, I think he walked himself out onto the plank, and the mayor removed the plank from underneath him, is essentially what happened.
There we go. That's a good way.
And she, understandably so, is really frustrated to be, you know, there she was giving him a celebratory send-off. He was going to stay on until the end of the year, and now she finds out that he is supposedly out, you know, boozing and carousing after he had given this news conference and repeatedly said, oh, it was a mix-up in my blood pressure medication, and, you know, he gave his kind of folksy laugh about it, and I know I need to be better. My family's on it for being better. And essentially what Lightfoot is saying is, you can do what you want, you just can't be the police superintendent and lie to me about it, because that's not how leaders act. And she was understandably upset, and I think you know, that's the flash of the former federal prosecutor in her. And we've seen that flash a couple of times when people have challenged her. You remember those first moments in city council as she presided over her first meeting and Ed Burke stood up and attempted to do what he's successfully done for decades in this city, which is essentially, bully his way to control the pulpit. And Lightfoot, boom, shot him down right then and there. And I think this is another example of how she's saying, no, you know, I may only be an inch or two over 5 foot tall, but you're not gonna walk all over me. That, to me, was what I took away from that news conference, that she didn't want to be associated with this activity. And look, you can't have a police superintendent who's driving himself after drinking for several hours. And then I think there's also information about his conduct when the officers approached him at that stop sign where he had apparently been reported as slumped over. That is potentially embarrassing as well. I'm struck by the fact that if Eddie Johnson on November 7th or 8th had just said, hey, here's my news conference. I'm announcing my retirement. Thanks for the hug, Lori Lightfoot. Goodbye. See you, Chicago. It's been a great 31 years. All of this probably wouldn't have come out in the way it has. But that decision to stay on kept people asking questions.
Right. And we were under the impression that he was staying on in order to get closer to a date certain that was a pension break.
I don't think so, because I think his pension break wasn't until the first couple of months of 2020. So I think his departure date at the end of December was already going to be shy of that final goose to the pension.
All right.
But Eddie Johnson put out this statement today in which he said that he leaves the department with his integrity intact. If people want to question that belief, that's their right. But I know in my heart that I've always tried to act in a way that's in the best interest of this great city. He says he did not intentionally mislead or deceive the mayor or the people of Chicago. But in that statement, he did admit to making mistakes that night, but he did not specify what those mistakes were.
Got it. All right. Let's mention, though, that the new interim superintendent, Superintendent Beck.
Yes.
Had a press
conference.
Charlie Beck has decided.
Not related to Tom Selleck.
Charlie,
they both have a fabulous mustache.
They do have a good mustache. Yeah, speaking of good mustaches, Gary McCarthy was on TV with us earlier today.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's still got the stash going.
Yeah, you remember when someone filed a complaint against McCarthy saying his goatee and mustache did not conform with with policies, and he actually had to shave his
goatee?
Yeah.
Anyway,
welcome to Chicago, you New Yorker.
So the point is, Charlie Beck had his press conference today, and I don't think that his mustache conforms either. We're going to have to talk to him about that, because it kind of goes down around.
It's a little droop. It's got a little droop on the side.
Sort of a 70s rock star kind of look to it. But Charlie has, you know, made a point here of touting this Operation Facebook, right, that the police have been doing. It's really cool.
Yeah, 53 arrests made. They call it Operation Facebooked. And what happened is some Chicago police detectives undercover were on Facebook, not in areas that you and I could access, but in these private groups that you have to be invited to join. And police say in some of those groups, people were illegally selling guns and drugs. And very interestingly, Anthony Riccio from the Chicago Police Department made a point of calling out Facebook, saying Facebook is harboring criminals because criminals know how to use the privacy Facebook affords them to profit from the sale of illegal drugs and weapons, which is very interesting. They also say Facebook when it found out some officers were operating on the platform under assumed names as part of this covert operation, Facebook shut down the cop's account. So the Chicago Police Department accusing Facebook of not doing all it can to not only police these private groups, but to also allow investigators to operate covertly to flush out some of this criminal activity.
I think what's more amazing is that they said that they wouldn't shut down the accounts of those illegally selling, right? So what's the difference?
What are they doing?
Well, Facebook says that...
Come on, Zuckerberg! I got to have 10 seconds. Go ahead and make that
point.
They
remove content and accounts that violate their policy, and they catch 97% of drug sale content, 93% of firearm sales content.
Okay. Well, they've 7% still sitting out there. Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
See you on the WGN TV News at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we're going next in 2 minutes.
Join me.
I should also mention that we do have Knurble Express coming your way on Friday. Speaking of giving, I want to remind you of this. This is an important thing. It's our annual Toys for Tots benefit concert, show and concert. Come to the Tinley Park Convention Center Friday, starting at, I think the door is open and the warming reception area is like open at 1:30. Show starts at 3. The actual radio show ends at 5:30. Ides of March concert at 5:30. And there will be drinking, there will be eating, there will be fun, there will be trees. There will be a gigantic pile of toys based on the toys that you're going to bring to this, because we ask everybody to bring at least one unwrapped, ungift wrapped, brand new toy. That's what we want.
Yeah, don't just like bring bags of Legos. You want to keep that in that box.
Yes, exactly right. And we, I've already made my purchases for this.
I haven't. Mm-hmm. I might have to do that tonight.
Should go do that.
I'm going to do that.
And one of the things that we're asking people to do is to think a little bit older on the gift giving, because we often get a lot of stuff for really little kids, and that the need really is, because a lot of people think that way. Mm-hmm. The need really is for kids that are sort of 8 and above, and then specifically like 10 and above. You know, 10 to whatever you think the appropriate age is, or 14.
So what should I go with?
So you know what I'm doing? I decided that I'm going to do some sporting equipment.
Nice.
Yeah?
Last year I brought a football and some other stuff.
Yeah. I think footballs, basketballs, one soccer ball. I'm just going to give I'm sopping to the one soccer ball. There will be a kid out there that needs a soccer ball. There's no question about that.
What about like board games?
Board games, great.
Okay.
Any games are great. Any kind of game is good.
Puzzles?
Puzzles, fine. If I got a puzzle for Christmas, I'd be a little disappointed, but that's just me. Maybe the
but
if it's my only gift, I would be more than happy.
I've been working on a puzzle for like a year now, and I'm like an eighth of the way done.
Where is this puzzle?
It's like tucked underneath the table. It was actually sort of like it was me and some buddies at the Blackhawks game at Notre Dame. So we took a picture, kind of like how you guys at the and you can now print the puzzle of a picture.
And now you got to make it.
So my buddy's like, hey, check it out. And I'm like, this is awesome.
Oh.
So we started doing it one night, and I don't know, we just kind of forgot about it.
I'm not done with the plug.
Sorry.
All right, Ides of March are going to be there. Sample treats from Sweet Ellie's Gluten-Free Bakery, photo ops in the Architect of Chicagoland photo booth. And here are the prizes that you could win just by showing up on Friday at the Tinley Park Convention Center with a gift, with a toy for a child. Toy, game, puzzle, whatever it happens to be. You could get a Hilton's of Chicago winter getaway package. You could get signed memorabilia from the White Sox. You could get tickets to a Chicago Blackhawks game. We got two pair of tickets to give away. Tickets to a Broadway in Chicago, Corduroy playing. That's a show. Corduroy playing at Broadway Playhouse. Tickets to go see Casey and the Sunshine Band at Four Winds New Buffalo. Tickets to the Museum of Science and Industry in Shedd Aquarium. Details, WGNRadio.com/choice, presented by American Sale, bring the fun home for the holidays, and sponsored by Apple Chevrolet, Architect of Chicagoland, Hilton's of Chicago, Dibs.com, Sweet Alley's Gluten-Free Bakery. How about that?
Great.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. It's my favorite day of the year. You get filled with pride. Everybody who's there, when you see all the toys that are there, and then the music starts playing, and the drinks have been flowing, and I'm going to tell you something. It's all good.
It gets a little wild.
It gets a little, yeah.
I'm telling you, last year's Christmas show, of everything I've been able to do at the station, was one of the most fun events I've been a part of, by far. It was just a ton of fun.
I can't wait. You guys have been building it up. It's my first one. I'm very excited. The way I see it, it's got to be the best way to start a weekend and a holiday season if you haven't technically already.
Right.
Free holiday show to get it going.
That's the way we look at it.
Are the Labkas coming? This is your territory.
Oh, of course they are.
Well, that's worth the price of admission, anybody wants to come there and see the Labkas party. Because when that family gets together, is the grandmother going to be there too?
You know what? I can't imagine she's busy doing anything else.
Shots fired at Grandma.
I know.
No, it's not shots fired. She's just, she worked hard her whole life, so now she gets to live
she's
in retirement.
Relaxing.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, she should be there because she's something.
I'm sure she would love to be there.
I think I made out with her at the the summer party that we had.
Yes, she's
right in front of her husband. I thought that was weird. All right, right now, let's check in with Lauren. What's happening on the roads and in the skies? All right, let's talk now to, this is, I don't know if you saw this a couple hours ago, Adam Schiff. He's the congressman from California. He's in charge of that committee that had all the impeachment hearings. And they have formed their impeachment report. Now, the Democrats and the Republicans have two separate impeachment reports. Republicans have an impeachment report that came out and said, hey, there's nothing here. Ukrainians were behind it. See you. Goodbye. Nothing to see here. Gotta go. It actually ends with car door slam, drive away. That's the last...
and scene.
Exactly. But Adam Schiff had a press conference today in which he outlined not just the charges that the president was trying to pressure the Ukrainians, but also, and I think this wasn't completely unexpected, but charges that the president and people working around him tried to obstruct the justice of this investigation, actually tried to obstruct Congress in their investigative powers. Philip Bump from the Washington Post joins us right now. That was expected, but will it make a difference?
Yeah, it was expected. Chairman Schiff had sort of hinted at this over the course of especially the last few public hearings. The question is, will the House Judiciary Committee actually include that as a potential article of impeachment? We've seen in past impeachments that obstruction has been an element. The Democrats have been pretty focused on keeping this narrowly constrained, so it remains to be seen. But, yeah, I mean, this is something that I think the Democrats had grown frustrated about. I think they have a case that they make fairly effectively, so it'll sort of be up to Judiciary to see what happens next.
So if they do go with this, then I think Republicans are going to say, well, you're just throwing the kitchen sink. Look, it keeps changing. That's what the Republicans did say in their report today, which is that this is like a fever dream from the Adam Schiff. And he's just, actually Stephanie Grisham said this today from the White House.
Right.
That, and I'm paraphrasing here, she's a spokesperson. She said that this is just, they're just throwing everything at the president. And this is from a fever dream out of Adam Schiff's basement. They like to use that.
Right.
Literal kind of imagery to make you think that none of this is all concocted somewhere. I don't know that that's necessarily going to be effective in the long run here, because I think people did. 70 million people ended up watching those hearings. 70
right.
million. And for daytime television, that's a pretty big number.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think it's important to remember, though, that before those 70 million people watched it, the number of people who supported impeaching and removing Trump was the same as the number after all those people
Correct.
Had watched.
Very good
so
point.
There isn't any sign that people had really moved on this. The White House is playing the political game fairly effectively at this point, thanks in large part to conservative media having their back. But they're basically saying, hey, this is nothing worth worrying about, and Republican voters seem largely to be accepting that message. It'll remains to be seen if anything can sort of shift that balance. I'm skeptical at this point that anything will.
Philip Bump from the Washington Post, what are you hearing on the street in Washington? Do you think that they're going to pass articles of impeachment here in the House?
Yeah, I mean, I think it seems pretty likely. There certainly is an argument to be made that Speaker Pelosi isn't going to want to introduce articles to have them only be voted by Democrats, right? I mean, I think she's wary of that. That said, I think she also now agrees with a lot of Democrats who say, hey, regardless of where the vote goes on this, this is something that is important just for defense of presidential norms and the accountability that the Congress is supposed to play in the executive branch. I think she probably adheres to that. I think this thing probably passes with almost entirely Democratic votes. Probably Justin Amish, who's now an independent, used to be Republican, joins them. But I think this thing moves forward.
It's interesting. You mentioned something that Adam Schiff was pointing at today, which was the reason that we are doing this isn't just to punish Donald Trump, but is to send a message to the nation that any future president, a Democratic president, would not be able to get away with this. Now, that's a Democrat saying that about a Republican president, and I know that politics is all relative and it's all timely, generally. But it seems that he's saying that you can't, if there is actual obstruction, and if there was an attempt to muscle a foreign government to get campaign assistance from that foreign government in any way, shape, or form, then a Democrat could do the same thing. Are Republicans giving up? And I think this is a crisis of conscience in the Republican Party right now, because I think there are some Republicans, especially in the Senate, that have been, that were elected in the last cycle, so they got, you know, four more years after this next cycle to sit there. That they're like, you know, I don't know. Do we really want to go down this road if you have provable facts?
Right. Yeah, and I think that that's probably something that a lot of folks are wrestling with internally. I think, though, they have enormous political cover not to to find that Trump did anything wrong. I mean, there is, you know, this is a fundamentally a political decision. There's very, very little support from Republicans for doing anything which would hold Donald Trump to account. But not only that, there are an entire slew, there's an entire media industry of conservative media which is arguing that there really isn't anything here, that what Donald Trump did is either normal or acceptable. So it is for those folks who are looking forward. I think they probably can feel confident that they can eventually, should they need to, make the case of why they took this vote in a way that history frowns upon. They can say, well, at the time, what we knew is that, you know, these various things have happened, and, you know, there's all this reporting, and now I say I made a mistake. They have that covered down the road, I think, simply by virtue of how much energy has been expended already in defending the president.
Right. Well, and I know that political memory is very short in Washington, sure, D.C. And if this were to happen, if let's say President Kamala Harris. Oh, wait, what? Oh, she did? Okay. All right. No, not her. Name your Democrat. Andrew Yang. I like that. The Yang gang. Let's say Andrew Yang becomes president and he decides he's going to go rogue and do something that he shouldn't be doing. And a Republican Congress wants to investigate him. They say, well, you know what? Your guy did it. That is never how it works in Washington. They forget that their guy did it, right? And then they go after whatever it happens to be. So
it's not that they forget it. If Andrew Yang went and called the president of Ukraine and said the exact same things that Donald Trump said, the Republicans would impeach him within a week, right? I mean, it is not simply
well,
a matter
vote
of
to. It's about majorities.
It's a matter of two different standards.
Right. It's a matter of it is an issue of majorities. All right. Philip Bump, Washington Post. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks.
All right. Ooh, a lot going on there. I don't know. I was watching this whole thing today. I'm just very uncomfortable. I think all of us are now uncomfortable. All of us now, you know what it's like? You're in the back seat of your parents' car, like the big Woody station wagon, and you're on an icy road, and dad might have had a few drinks, and he's driving the car rather erratically, and there's a hill, and now all of a sudden you've crested the hill, and you're going down the hill, and the car is starting to slide sideways.
Some black ice out there, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the next, it doesn't matter what color the ice is, Lauren. You're going down the hill, you're kind of a little out of control, and the next thing you know, you're looking there and you're like, I don't know, I have no control over this. I'm in the back seat here. I'm in the back of the Woody. I'm looking out the rear window, as a matter of fact. And now it's becoming the front window. I don't know what to do. That's how I feel. I can't sleep at night.
Yeah, the car can either right itself or it might start tumbling.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know. I here's what I know. I know why I don't like it. The whole thing makes me very uncomfortable. But here we are, and we've got to endure this, and then still somehow enjoy the holidays. Because I don't think any of this is going to take place in this period of time before Christmas.
See, you know, Thanksgiving, nobody talked politics because I think everybody is exhausted from it.
Yeah, I think it's true.
And nobody wants to even bring it up on both sides.
I think that's totally true. And
it was a fairly nice Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Except, I'm telling you, though, it happened to me. at the last minute and the most unexpected person at the table.
The only politics that happened is when I mentioned the Irishman, because apparently there's some old men who are Trump supporters who don't like De Niro anymore because De Niro doesn't. I'm not watching the Irishman. De Niro's in it. I'm like, what did he do?
Oh, we just solved the war on Christmas. Now the war on De Niro?
I guess so.
Oh, I know. See, now that's too much for me.
He said nasty things about the president.
Yeah, so he did.
He's on the list for MAGA supporters.
No one is safe. That's no true. One is safe.
Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, hot in 2 minutes.
Guest, be our guest. Put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, Sherry, and we provide the rest.
You may be wondering why we're playing this. I'll tell you why, because it's Row Giving. Every 30 minutes on this program today, we are going to be giving you a prize because it's Giving Tuesday. We're hoping that you're giving to your favorite cause or charity, and we are going to return the favor for you every 30 minutes, giving you something. And right now, so this, at this very moment, I have, don't tell me, I'll tell you, pair of tickets to Beauty and the Beast at Paramount Theater in Aurora.
Ooh, I don't know if you know this, but it's a tale as old as time. No? Nothing? Come on.
19th caller, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. There you go.
Big fan of Beauty and the Beast.
You know, of all of those, you know, that I had
Disney
to endure as a child.
Fairy tales.
And as a parent of a child. The Beauty and the Beast never really struck me the same way.
Really?
Yeah. I like that opening scene where she's, you know, walking through the town square and just reading a book and she can't really follow what's going on.
Everyone thinks she's weird because she likes to read.
Because she likes to read.
Yep.
Get a load of
her.
Or
even knows how to
read.
So Beauty and the Beast at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, now playing through January 19th, Disney's most beloved animated film, comes to life on stage with all the Enchanted Castle characters. Get tickets at ParamountAurora.com.
Bet that's a good show.
I'll bet it is. I saw the stage version of this.
Yeah?
Yeah, when it first came out. Remember that every Disney movie they had to make into a stage show?
Oh, yeah. I've seen Lion King and Aladdin.
A Lion King was amazing.
Phenomenal.
And then there was, like, On Ice, right? Lion King on ice.
That On Ice was always there, though. They were always... Disney's been...
Disney on ice.
Disney was putting Mickey on the ice skates in the 1930s, right? He and Sonya Henie. Well, I know that Mickey and Sonya Henie had a very torrid affair for many years.
Did people they really? Didn't,
yeah.
Hmm. Once you go rotten, you don't go back.
So, this is a very... this is going to be... That's a very fun show. It's a very, very fun show. And when it first came to the stage, when Beauty and the Beast first came to the stage, I had trouble believing that the teapot was actually... The teapot looked too smushy for me.
Yeah, that one would probably be one of the more difficult costumes to do.
Yeah.
Because if you're just like really round, it's going to be hard to get around.
Yeah. And that was the thing. The teapot would just, you know, show up and you're like, I don't know. I don't believe that. You know, the teapot did not read as real to me. Big theater critic I am. So, all right. So there you go. So 30 minutes from now, another opportunity for you to rip us off for, let's see here, a $100 gift card to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo.
Wow.
So that's $100 right there.
Yeah.
You can just go in there and cash it in and come back out.
That would be the smart thing to do.
Put it on black.
Put it on black.
Who knows?
That's what I would do.
Could turn that into a lot of cheddar.
Because you look at it and you go, maybe, you know what? Maybe a few hands of poker. Why would I do that? Let's just see. Maybe, you know, blackjack, anybody?
That's a fun casino.
Put a nickel on the yo? I could do that. I don't even know what that means. I go to a craps table and I throw a chip out, I go, put a nickel on the yo. And then they look at me and they think I know what I'm doing at that point.
And let it ride. Sir, we don't know what that means. Just let it ride.
I just like in craps where the dealer has to help you.
Oh,
the croupier
totally
has to help you with it. All right, now you got to put it over there. No, you got to move that back. All right, put that over there. And then people start rolling the dice and they start jumping up and down and screaming, yay, we won. And you have no idea what just happened.
Or they hate you.
Yeah.
The one time I played, I had no clue what I was doing, but I was with a buddy. He's like, just do this bet. I don't know. He's like, I've done it like four times.
Six and eight.
And I keep hitting. Yeah. I'm like, okay, whatever he does. They're like, you win. We're like, cool. Great. I don't know what just happened.
They keep shoving the chips at you and you're like, I did it.
Cramps is easy.
I did it. And
then I've been playing this.
And then every once in a while, they just take them away. Like, hey, no. You're supposed to replace them.
Even if I didn't actually lose, I wouldn't have known. Sure, take my chips. What are you going to do? That's gambling for you, folks. Let's head to the bar.
I do like a craps table, though, because it's very social. Everybody is on the same page.
Right.
Unlike poker.
You're basically a team.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're
a team just going for broke.
Right.
Right? Let's go. Let them ride. And everybody's high-fiving each other.
Right. You have your favorite roller.
Right.
This guy's hot.
Yeah.
Shooter. Shooter. Come on. Shooter.
Yep. He's got a hot hand.
You're waiting for that guy to come back around.
Right. Then one big guy shows up and he kind of muscles his way in and ruins the vibe for everybody.
I have told this story before, but I'll tell it very quickly. We were at a casino in the Bahamas. We were doing a live show down there at a casino in the Bahamas after the show. And there was a guy who was on oxygen, you know, at the craps table.
With a cigarette.
With a cigarette and with a nurse who was with him. And the guy goes down. He falls backwards I think dead. We walked away. We didn't want to know. But his last move was to reach out and try to grab his chips before he fell away from the table.
Oh, my gosh.
That just tells you what can happen. Lauren, what's happening on the roads and in the skies?
And for News at 10, watch WGN, Mike Matera, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV News at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Okay, so the holiday season is upon us. Now, that's right. We're almost in the teeth of it right now. I'd say on Friday, that's where it really begins for me, you know, once we start the whole...
I just put the tree up 2 days ago, so I'm kind of getting into it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're thinking about what you're going to get your friend. I started shopping for you guys on Black Friday. I mean, on Cyber Monday at midnight, Sunday night into Monday morning.
Wow, that's dedication.
I know. I want to get the best deals because I didn't want to spend too much on you guys. So...
I knew I liked mom
more.
You've
done enough already.
So, this is interesting. There is a story today about those who wish to give weed on Christmas because it's becoming legal in Illinois. Maybe you want to get grandma on the hooch.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Grandma's always complaining. I'd like to actually get my mother on it.
Grandma, I improved your brownie recipe.
I mean, I'm serious. Like, it's so casual now to talk about it and do it. Like, people are getting marijuana for their parents now.
Yeah, like smoking together.
Like, as a kid, if you were caught with any, like, I would have been in a ton of trouble. Now it's like, you know, like, people, my parents are just like, where can we get some of that stuff? I've been reading about in the news. I'm like, I got a guy. Don't worry about it.
Ellie Marotti's at the Chicago Tribune, and she's written a story today about why you really need to think twice before you buy a bong for your grandmother this this holiday season. Ellie, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Why should I worry about giving a bong to my grandmother?
Well, so this is all very new, and the etiquette is still kind of forming around it. New industry, new concept, you know, the stigma is still falling away a little bit, so it could make for some awkward Christmas mornings. So what you need to do, apparently, according to Lizzie Post, who is the great-great-granddaughter of Emily Post, is just think about giving a marijuana-related gift as you would giving any gift. If you don't know if a person's into it, maybe ask a friend who might know, just like you would ask if your friend prefers red or white wine before giving them a bottle of wine.
Isn't one of the problems that some of these devices like bongs or what's the little hand thing?
A bowl.
It can kind of change the high that you get from it.
Oh, a bong will put you in a half coma.
Oh, see,
for
Kevin
like a
knows everything.
Right. So, yeah, that's a huge part of it. There's all these different ways to consume it now. You can vape it. You smoke a joint.
I'm not vaping anymore.
Right.
I tried that in California a couple of months ago. I am not doing that again. Because now I'm afraid. I'm just afraid of the whole vaping thing. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's reasonable to be afraid of that, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that right now. I mean, there's a lot of cannabis companies coming out and saying that the problem ingredient in the vapes aren't in their products, that it's mostly on the black market. But yeah, I mean, you know, and with this, you know, you can't buy actual weed, actual marijuana for someone legally until after January 1st. So that's not, whether it's a concentrate or some other form, an edible, a gummy, you know, anything along those lines, that's kind of a no-go legally for this Christmas still. So a lot of the retail experts are saying that it's exactly like you said, right? It's getting a family member or loved one or friend kind of set up to start smoking it. So it's getting them whatever sort of accessory they might need to smoke it, consume it, whatever.
Yeah.
And kind of getting them ready for January 1st when recreational sales start here.
I just want to make a point that grandma, let's say grandma is 70. Let's just call her 70 right now. Grandma is 70. That means she was in her 20s in the 1970s. Grandma knows a little something about the Hindu Kush. That's all I'm going to say. Right? I mean, this whole thing, the sweet grandmother, she's got the pearls on now. She would have never known anything about that. She was probably at Woodstock, right? She was probably taking the brown acid. Mm-hmm. That's just something to keep in your mind about that as you're saying, hey, grandma, want to get back to the good old days? Huh?
That's actually a good point, because one of the other recommendations that Lizzie Post makes is to think about where you're giving it to people, right? So if you're going to give your cousin a pipe or something, think about whether your cousin's going to open it in front of all the little kids and the grandparents and your family, and what the thought there is going to be. Like, do you need to kind of slip it to them on the side and say, hey, don't open this in front of everyone? Or if you know that your family's into it, like you were saying, a lot of people, you know, it's not really that taboo anymore in some families, then you may not have to be so worried about that.
Okay, so stop and think about this for a second. That when you get a holiday gift, right? I mean, some of the corporate gifts and stuff is a bottle of liquor. And nobody raises an eyebrow about that. Mm-hmm. A bottle of scotch, bottle of whatever it is. Vodka seems a little down market. But you know, some nice brown liquid is often given this time of year. And no one's clutching their pearls about that. And yet people, and now it's going to be totally legal on January 1st in Illinois for recreational use. I'm not sure where I have to go for that. Do you know where we have to go for that?
Yes. So there are 55 dispensaries in Illinois right now operating as medical dispensaries, and they have been allowed to apply to also sell recreational cannabis on starting January 1st. So the state is kind of going through the applications right now, issuing the licenses on a rolling basis. So far, there are 30 that the state has approved, but there's actually only 27 that have the total full approvals, including their local municipalities that have given the okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there should be more by the time January 1st rolls around, but right now we're looking at about 27 where you can walk in and buy weed on January 1st for sure.
Will there be weed for sale on January 1st? Will those things be open on New Year's Day? Do we know?
Yes. Yeah, the state has said that they can legally operate between 6 a.m. and I think 10 p.m. So a lot of them are still working out what their hours will be. I'm not sure if all of them will be open all those hours. So you'd have to check with your local dispensary what their hours will be. But yeah, for sure, there's a lot of plans. There's a lot of excitement around this, I think, from consumers and from the businesses alike. You know, a lot of consumers want to be part of something historic like this. The other thing to consider is that there's a lot of talk around a shortage of cannabis, or at least a shortage of certain products.
Oh, sweet mother of God!
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's already a bit of a shortage now, and the law says that these medical dispensaries, they were medical dispensaries first, right? So they have a lot of patients that shop there. They need to, according to the law, make sure that they're supplying their medical patients first and foremost before they sell to the recreational consumer.
Oh, please. Those medical patients are not, I mean, there's like a handful of them that actually have a medical need for it. I'm sorry. I know. Technically, you know, that some doctor wearing a Hawaiian shirt signed off on a note that said that they actually
I've got arthritis in my left elbow as a 27-year-old.
I mean,
those stores are going to be packed on January 1st. I know a lot of people that resort to marijuana for the hangover.
there's a lot of, you know, for a long time in Illinois, this is sort of part of the problem. It was, you know, it's been really hard to get a medical cannabis card. The list of conditions was super strict. There were only about 40 of them. Whereas in other states, the chronic pain type of thing brought in a lot of patients. So that only recently started to change here this year. So there was a huge influx of medical patients, and that in part is contributing to the potential shortage. But just pay attention if you're a consumer wanting to go to a dispensary on January 1st. They don't even know yet what products they'll have that day. So some dispensaries, you know, you may end up seeing a sign that says, hey, we're only selling to medical patients today. Definitely expect the long lines. It'll be interesting to see.
And cash only, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ATMs in these places that you can use when you get there.
That always makes you feel better.
Debit cards, but mostly cash.
They will take debit cards?
Some of them do have, like, point-of-sale systems that it processes it like you're using cash, so no credit cards.
Yeah, because they can't do the problem here is
the federal.
Because it's still federally against the law. I cannot imagine why they haven't fixed that yet, because all these states are flipping over on January 1st this year. So
Right.
All right, Allie, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Allie Moretti from the Chicago Tribune, telling you how you can get high, get grandma high on January 1st after you buy her a bong for Christmas and she opens it up.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, young Kevin.
I would love to see kids like, Grandma, can I play with your microscope? What would kids think that is?
This is a bong. You light it. You inhale. You'll hear some bubbling. Kids, and then pull the little...
Kids, put some water in this. I'm going to show you how it works. We got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes.
This is... You got to know when to hold it.
That's know right. when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Yep, that's what you got to do. And right now, because it's row giving, because today is Giving Tuesday, and we're hoping that you're supporting your favorite charities on Giving Tuesday and causes. So in order to thank you for doing that, we're every 30 minutes on the program today, we're giving away stuff. And right now I have a $100 gift card to Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. Celebrate New Year's Eve with a burlesque flair at Four Winds Casinos, featuring live entertainment, great dining, party favors, and a chance to win a share of $115,000, new winnings and new beginnings, and the best New Year's Eve event ever at Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
That's a great New Year's idea.
Maybe we do that as a show.
now that mom actually was already thinking of going to New Buffalo for New Year's, and now I have a great reason to go.
Oh, that's very interesting.
I know.
Do you think the whole show could go? You know, mom's not. We're going to have to go with your aunt and uncle.
Well, I do have a wedding New Year's Eve.
What?
Oh, no.
That's the worst.
You know, if you make it like a work event.
Don't you? I mean, people who do this schedule their weddings. I know a friend who had to go to a wedding on Saturday of this weekend. On Thanksgiving weekend.
No,
Saturday
that's my wedding. Sister had it on the Saturday, and it was perfect.
I got married
I loved
on
it.
Thanksgiving.
It was great.
That was great.
Because nobody does anything that weekend. And people are traveling anyway.
Yeah, but if you don't live where your family lives and you were traveling, you wouldn't be in town for a wedding.
Right, but you might be in town for the holiday already. So two for one situation.
I happen to think it's a very bad idea.
I agree with you.
My sister did it, and it went great. So everybody was a fan of it. But
well, it worked out for Kim. All right, congratulations, Kim.
Thank you. 34 years
ago.
Yeah,
there you go.
But on a holiday, like 4th of July weekend or things like that, I mean, come on now.
I mean, I've heard some positive reviews about, I've never done a New Year's Eve wedding. But some people like them because it's like, it's a party plan for you already. You know what I mean? It's like a New Year's celebration with a wedding. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
So you're telling us that you're not coming to our Four Winds Casino.
Doesn't look like it, guys. I mean, I haven't RSVP'd yet. But the person getting married is an avid listener. I guarantee he's listening right now.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know. Well, why don't we just all do? You know what? Why don't we just all go to his wedding then?
Sure.
Will
you,
there be
you actually know him?
A craps table at the wedding? I actually do know him.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
They would love if you came.
Do they want me to preside over the service?
I've done that too. Do a live remote play by play. He's walking down the aisle. Do creepy DJ for the.
You know, it's so funny. I did this a couple times where, you know, I got licensed to marry people.
Yeah.
Just really the worst. It just shows you what a sham the whole thing is that they allowed me to do it. But
Rowan marriage. I love his outlook on marriage.
Yeah, I mean,
a little salty there, huh?
Yeah. You'd be too. Anyway, the point is that when I'm doing it, I start to sound like Joey from Friends.
What? We like don't know that reference.
The wedding, the wedding vows, or these two are together forever. It's like you just keep saying the same thing over again, and there's like a cadence to it. Do you take Joe to be
of speaking on air
every day? And I fall into this stupid Joey Tribbiani cadence. It's just it doesn't work. It's just like the marriage itself. I literally want to lean in at some point.
Are they still married?
While the two are sitting there. Well, one, I don't know. But I know that Joe and Yvonne Farina are friends.
Oh,
who,
yeah,
you
that's
know,
right.
I married them.
Yeah.
And they're still married.
They're going strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome couple.
Well, they're going. And so that's the most important thing.
Saw them the other night. They looked happy.
I want to lean in and go, get out while you can. Do you, Joseph, take? All right. Let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening in the roads and the skies? Our official Blackhawk is standing by, Connor Murphy, and this is all brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Drive to the game, as we like to call this. And Connor is here not just as Connor Murphy on the Super Celebrity Hotline, but his mom, Nicole, is on the Super Aww. Celebrity Hotline because this is the mother's trip, right? There's a little two-game stretch here, and it's starting tomorrow night. This very, very exciting thing. Nicole, we talk to Connor all the time. I'm so not interested in talking to him right now.
Boring.
Yes, exactly. I'd much rather talk to you. First of all, I would like to know this. I know that Connor grew up in Central Ohio, right?
Yes. Yeah. Columbus, yep.
Columbus. And he has a Canadian accent. Can you explain that to us?
Well, we came from Canada. We came from the Great White North, okay. Toronto, Ontario.
All right. Well, then that finally does explain it, because I spent a lot of time in Central Ohio myself, and I just can tell you that that's not how the people down there talk. That is for sure.
He's kind of got a mix. He's got the American and the Canadian.
Yeah. And you got to say Ohio, not Ohio. There's no O in Ohio, despite the fact that all the OSU people are always doing that O thing. All right, let's talk about the excitement of the trip. Now, Connor, are you going to behave differently that your mother's going to be on the trip?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. She got we got separate rooms and everything, so she's going to continue her own journey for a little bit of the trip, I guess. But it's nice. The Hawks do an amazing job of having the moms come and kind of showing families how much they mean to us, and how special it is that, I mean, a lot of us are here because of our moms and dads, so we're lucky.
What was that, Nicole, what was the longest driving trip that you had to do in the peewee, you know, the little kid hockey, right, the travel mm-hmm. hockey? What was what was, like, the longest that you had to do?
That's an easy one. It was Wisconsin.
From Toronto? Or from Columbus.
Columbus?
All right.
Yeah. I think it's like a 12-hour or something like
and
that.
And then is that game, it's like 12 hours there, play the game for an hour and 15 minutes, and then you go back, and you're 12 hours back?
But no, it's you play, it seems like you sometimes, some weekends, depending if it was a big tournament weekend, if it was just a regular weekend, we would play a team and then play them again and then again. And that would be probably like a Saturday and then Sunday. And then you pack up and then leave Sunday. So you maybe arrive late Friday night, you play Saturday and Sunday, you play them three times.
Can you imagine that hockey bag in the car for 12 hours?
I know. Well, that's what I want to ask. What kind of vehicle did you have to sacrifice for this?
Always Suburbans. We always had the big, extended
there you go.
Truck. Yeah.
There you go. That's the way to do it. You get the used Suburban, though, with the one wheel that's wobbling, because you realize this car is going to have to be fumigated. Probably at the end of its life, you're going to probably have to set it on fire anyway. I know.
Hockey parents are saying late nights at the rink, a lot of traveling. Was there a moment when you were watching little Connor play that you said, wow, my son is something special? Like he can be an NHL. Well, like, was there a moment where you could say, well, my son's a lot better than all the other guys on the rink?
You know what? It's kind of because his dad played. I don't know if you guys know that, but his dad played. Yeah. And I met his dad in high school, so I've been with him since then. And you know what? As a mother, I don't know what I was on, what was happening to me, but for me, it was just trying to get them, him and his brother, to wherever they needed to go to. And he had a little sister in tow. And I just was really trying to get him to the games and made sure I never made him late to the rink and get his equipment. You know, when they're really young, you tie up their skates for them and all that stuff. So it's there is a lot to it to take them on the weekends. But, of course, it's all worth it because the trips are nice. You bond. You really do. You're closer to your kids when you do these types of things, these sports and things with them.
Sure.
Especially when it's travel and everything. But, no, there really was never a time that it came into my head that, oh, he could be a professional hockey player. Or it literally, I guess it's the grind of it. You just kind of, you know, like every mother, you just get through every day and every weekend. And you just hope that they're healthy and happy. And that's about it.
Connor, did you thank your mother for driving you to Wisconsin?
Yeah, probably not enough, I guess.
Yes, I don't think so.
Yeah, there's definitely
I don't think he has.
Yeah, because that's you know, you got that 70 to 65 to 94, the whole thing. It's like, it's just that's a drive that will never end. And then you end up and then you're, you know, you're in Wisconsin by the time it's done. And you're like, oh, my God, what am I doing here?
Yeah, that's when you had to print out MapQuest, the directions. You didn't have the navigations, and we didn't know how to read it right. We had upside down half the time, so we're going the wrong way and taking detours and wait and everything.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Connor, what would you say is different about your mom that makes her a better hockey mom than the rest out there?
Ooh.
I don't know. I think she gets it just with my dad playing, and kind of hockey was just the family thing, and understanding how it works, and knowing kind of emotions that go along with it, and kind of the ups and downs and the grinds and the injuries and all that, just understanding how big the support is. I think just with my dad being through that so much and her being a part of it for so long, it just is great to have. It's just definitely a hockey family.
And there's something about hockey players, I think, that is different. And Nicole, I think you can speak to this, because hockey players tend to be more polite than other professional athletes. And it's because, I firmly believe this, it is because they spend so much time in other people's homes, in their basements, sleeping, you know, because in juniors, or, you know, and again, you know, kid travel or juniors hockey, you know, you don't necessarily live at, you know, at one point you send your kids away. Right. And they're going to go live somewhere else. And they are literally living in either some coach or some other player's family's basement for months at a time. And because they have to kind of learn that getting along with other people and being respectful in the family household and all, they're trying to be respectful and ruining their washing machine as well. And that is kind of the I think the difference. Would you agree with that?
I do agree, and they do through it. They do leave young, and that was very hard. It's a very hard thing to do as a parent, to basically run off your child who's 16 years old, or sometimes younger, sometimes they're 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine for these parents that have their kids over in Russia or Sweden, and then they send them over here. A lot of them, mainly I know of, especially in Ontario, they play junior league there. I can't even imagine those people sending their kids over at that young age. But it's a formative time, too, where, you know, they're young men and the hormones, and they're, you know, you don't know what they're going to do when they go to these people's houses. They're going to become something completely different. you're kind of like...
It's true.
So you talk to them, they know it. You know, again, like you said, they taking them on these road trips, you're together with them so much. They spend so much time with their parents that they really truly have a real understanding of how to behave and how to be. And they do. They go with these parents. They live with them. These parents are so kind to take them into their homes with their own children, too, at times. And they don't get paid anything. They get paid, but it's nothing. And they just do it out of the kindness of their own heart, and to, I guess, just to see, you know, a kid to do it, you know, to follow his dream and see how far he can go with that. And that's really all, you know, it's just unbelievable what these people do. And the kids who are, hopefully, you hope those players that all go with the parents, that they are putting an honest effort to follow what their rules are in the house and be polite and mannerly and help out, you know.
Yeah, totally true. And in juniors, they're lucky if they win the Tubby Schmaltz Trophy, right? That's the biggest thing you can get in juniors hockey in Canada, because that's like the Stanley Cup of juniors. And you're like, oh, I won the Tubby Schmaltz. If that does never sell. It is never the kind of thing where you go, oh, Tubby Schmaltz winner, Connor Murphy. I don't think you did win it, did you? Did you ever win that?
No.
Okay.
Definitely not.
All right. Connor Murphy and his mom, Nicole. It is the mom's trip in this two-game road trip that the Hawks are leaving on, I think, tonight.
Thursday night's the game.
Thursday, Friday. Yeah. Thursday, Friday, right. So kind of a nice turnaround there. Boston, one of the towns, right?
Yes, sir.
And so it'll be...
Boston, New Jersey, yeah.
Oh, God, New Jersey. Oh, I'm sorry about that. But you can always, you know, maybe go across the bridge into New York. I think that's the way I would do it. All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you very much.
All right. There they go. The Murphys.
That's a hockey mom right there.
I really want to see a picture of matching pajamas of those two. I'm expecting one.
of the two brothers?
Like, yes. I feel like they would be that family.
Yes. Yeah. I kind of have that sense.
And I would
love
it.
All right. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Kim Gordon is, and she's going to have the news for you coming your way in 2 minutes.
Chicago's very own WGN. It's
Roe Giving, and right now, I told you every 30 minutes, we're going to give you away a cool prize today to people, because it's Giving Tuesday. We want to encourage people to remember that it's Giving Tuesday. If you have a charity or a cause that you are passionate about and you'd like to donate some money to it, today is a great day to do it.
Or if you don't have one, there's a lot out there. You could definitely find one.
Sure. We talked about the Red Cross yesterday. We talked about Salvation Army. John talks about Salvation Army. Those are both excellent opportunities here. There's Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, which is, I'm on the board of that. So we always love donations.
A lot of animal shelters.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Whatever it, whatever you're looking to help out here. Marine Corps Toys for Tots, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that by coming to our show on Friday.
See, it could just be a very giving week.
All right. Tinley Park Convention Center. 3 till the last dog dies, or whatever we're supposed to say there.
What?
What? All right, right now, caller number 19, 312-981-7200, gets a $100 gift card to Four Winds Casino New Buffalo. Celebrate New Year's Eve with a burlesque flair at Four Winds Casinos, featuring live entertainment, great dining, party favors, and a chance to win a share of $115,000. New winnings and new beginnings at the best New Year's Eve event ever at Four Winds Casinos, your entertainment escape. All right. Are you ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
It's the top of the World Show.
Double whammy.
2-1. Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokon Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
So giving, we gave you two intros.
I know, it was that was an odd thing. But we did it anyway. All right, checking in at
number 5.
You ever have one of those days? You know?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
We're having one of those days. House Democrats have released a 300-page report compiling the findings from the House Intelligence Committee related to the impeachment inquiry against the president. Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says the evidence presented by the witnesses paints a picture that the president used his office to pressure an ally to investigate a political rival, and that he used a meeting at the White House and hundreds of millions of dollars in military aid as a bargaining chip. Schiff told reporters that the evidence also points to a desire by the president to undermine the election, and that this could set a dangerous precedent moving forward.
If the Congress allows a president to so fully and blanketly obstruct the work of Congress, even involving an impeachment investigation into the president's own misconduct, then we are begging for more of the same. We are signaling to any future president that can engage in whatever corruption, malfeasance, or negligence, and they are beyond accountability. And to my GOP colleagues, they need to consider that when we have a Democratic president, are they willing to say, in answer to their oversight, that a president may simply refuse? Because if they are, and if we do, it will mean that the balance of power between our branches of government will be fundamentally altered, and altered for the worse. It will mean that future corruption, malfeasance, and incompetence will be far more likely than it is today.
He's not wrong about that. And I think that that is a sobering moment for all Americans, Republicans and Democrats. I mean, there's a moment we can at least stop and think about that. If you're going to exert executive privilege to keep an investigation from moving forward of the White House, that becomes its own issue. And there isn't really, you know, I know the president likes to say it's illegitimate. It really isn't illegitimate. And the process by which they went through this is not that much different from prior processes. So this is, it's to be taken seriously. Now, what's going to happen here is that this is going to ride all the way up to the Supreme Court, because they're focusing on this particular testimony by Don McGahn, who was the White House counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And That case probably will be the first to hit the Supreme Court. Supreme Court will have to rule on this. If the Supreme Court does rule and say, well, you have executive privilege, you do open up the possibility for President Yang to run roughshod over the rest of the world here, right? I mean, that's the one thing we do have to consider. For all Americans, are there rules here? Does the president get to do whatever he wants when he wants to do it? I mean, that's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court will be forced to answer that, and that could change the outcome in America.
Yeah, have fun with that.
Yeah,
Supreme Court.
Yeah, exactly. I like beer. All right, let's check in now with Lauren. What's happening on the roads and in the skies? I need a new trampoline.
I can't wait to get to 3.
I would like a trampoline and 100 Christmas trees, please.
Checking in at
number 4.
Chicago Police Interim Superintendent Charlie Beck joined officers for his first press conference about an undercover sting operation called Operation Facebooked this morning at Police HQ. 53 people have been arrested for selling illegal guns and drugs to undercover officers. First Deputy Superintendent Anthony Riccio, organized crime detectives have been digitally going undercover by posing as criminals looking to buy illegal guns and drugs on Facebook.
The operators of Facebook have agreed to shut down the groups identified by CPD's current investigation, but Facebook refuses to block the members who are part of those groups. The website also makes it difficult for officers to operate undercover on Facebook. How many of these weapons have been used on the streets of Chicago? We simply don't know. What happens when a member of a private Facebook group suffers a fatal overdose by using drugs that they purchased through the site or through the encrypted group? Facebook often cites privacy concerns when they're confronted with the facts of our investigation.
That's Anthony Riccio, though, by the way, not the LA guy, because the LA guy doesn't talk like this. They both have nice mustaches.
So that's an interesting point, then, because if that were the case, could Facebook legally be viable to some degree?
I mean, I think Facebook is... all the social media platforms are going to eventually have to be responsible for their content. Right. The way that we have to be responsible for our content. We can't just go on and say anything or sell drugs through WGN. I mean, sure, Lipitor. I mean, we could do that, but we can't. But we're not allowed to, you know. I mean, that's
illegal drugs.
Yeah, illegal drugs. That would be wrong. Although I'm sure there's some people in the sales department going, if we could make 15% on that. All right. During the presser, the interim superintendent was also asked about the former superintendent, Eddie Johnson. Uh-oh.
None of us are perfect. Everybody makes mistakes, but we have to live with that. We have to live with our errors. And accountability in policing is two things that are important to me in policing. Well, actually, three things. One is public trust. One is police accountability. And the third is police effectiveness. And, you know, all of these things have to be our bellwether. They have to be our guideposts. They have to be what drives it forward, whether you're the superintendent or whether you're the newest beat cop on CPD.
All right. There you go. His mustache was quivering during that, too. I've never understood the mustache culture that goes on there.
I don't know. It's a whole thing, though. They have mustache contests, facial hair contests and stuff. People
Those
walk on a stage
crazy.
And people judge them.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't. I'm just, I like the scruff. I don't like anything else going on there. You know what's interesting, though? I noticed, was watching the Hawks last night.
Yeah.
And Gizmo shaved his mustache. You know, the guy that
barely
the Hawks
recognize
reporter.
Him, right?
Right. He looks like a 14-year-old.
Yeah, he looks way younger than I remember before the mustache.
Before he looked like a 14-year-old playing an old man in a high school play. And now he looks actually like a 14-year-old again.
It's incredible how much facial hair, how controversial it can be.
I know.
The first time I grew scubble, people were like, who is that? What has he got on his face over there?
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, I don't know. I just didn't want to shave for a few days.
There's
relax.
There's just people who can't. I thought I couldn't grow facial hair, and it turned out I could.
It's about as good as it gets for me, as you can see on the radio.
All right, this is a good one here. Listen to this.
Number three.
All right, so Peloton, the bike company, is dominating social media after there was an ad promoting its exercise bike. Now, here's what it was. It was an ad of a husband giving his wife a Peloton bike, and he puts his hands over her eyes, and then she opens them, and there's the Peloton bike, and then she does like a year-long video,
I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
Right, where she's
documenting her process.
Her process, and she loses weight and all that. And now there's a whole group of people who are upset that this somehow represents the dominance that men have over women and the insistence that women maintain their weight.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Now.
A Peloton? Give it up for our first time riding.
All right, first ride. I'm a little nervous, but excited. Let's do this. 5 days in a row. You surprised?
I am. 6 a.m. Yay.
A year ago, I didn't realize how much this would change me. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure if she didn't want to ride it or work out, she didn't have to.
I don't get the sexist angle of it, but for me it's just the overall, like, what? Why is she terrified to get on a stationary bike? She's like, mother of God, call 911. There's a stationary bike in the family room.
Well, because there's a video, because you can watch it, like, you take part in a live there's a screen there.
These got big.
You're like
last
competing
Christmas.
With other people.
Okay, I have a Peloton bike. Truly, it's not scary. It's the best thing ever, and I did ask for it for my birthday.
So my daughter just got one.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, she's been going to one of those class places,
spin classes.
Yeah, spin class place for years, and she loves it. And now she's like totally, this is, and she's got her husband into it.
Yeah, and you don't have to leave your house.
Right.
That's the best part.
And you take part in this whole deal with the people on the other, you know, and you are competing, and it's the same event.
Yeah, but if you don't like to compete, you can just shut that down. You know, people are high, they have like these high fives. You can high five people next to you and stuff. It's motivating.
I just, the ad, like, she's, I just don't get it. Like, why
she is under the thumb of her male oppressor.
Apparently, yeah, didn't you see how overweight she was in the beginning?
Right. That's another thing. She's like perfectly fit at the start of the ad, and she looks the exact same at the end of the ad. She looks great. Right.
They are not happy about this.
I understand.
I would like to see who is they for sure.
Them is not happy about this.
Russian troll farm.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Why do we have to make a fight over
perfect opportunity?
Everything?
I know we don't have to.
Number two.
Katy Perry Christmas. Singer released a new music video for her holiday track, Cozy Little Christmas, yesterday. Perry and Santa get a little frisky. Oh, my God.
No.
Of course. Why does she have to dirty up Santa?
What about Mrs. Claus?
First we're fixing Christmas songs, and now we're making Santa an object of sex. What is going on in this world?
They are lounging by a pool, drinking hot cocoa, having a dance party. All in the, with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer looking on.
Everybody's in a hurry, in a flurry, shopping till they're dropping in the snow. Kids are crying, dogs are barking, catching up with folks we barely know. Sure, it's madness, but it's magic. As soon as you hang up the mistletoe.
Okay. I don't really get it. But I like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He's just kind of watching them canoodle, and then his nose keeps going off.
You know what else is the weirdest part about this song? The hot chocolate next to a pool. Why are you drinking hot chocolate if it's warm enough to be by a pool?
I think she's seducing Santa. We need to rewrite the lyrics. I'm offended by this. Just like Baby It's Cold Outside.
He is a married man.
That's right. Yes. Rewrite the lyrics. I'm offended.
Oh, God.
Get John Legend on the phone.
All right. And finally.
Number one.
I almost don't want to explain this. I just want to play it. This is a Cleveland Browns fan who is incredibly upset about the fact that the Browns, much heralded. And you got that stupid Baker Mayfield commercial where he's living in the stadium.
Yeah.
And it's like, I never understood it from the very beginning. And now it's on. And why? This team didn't even make the playoffs after they were supposed to make the playoffs. They make the Bears look like the Patriots here.
The Brown season is now over. After all that hype, all that promise, all the talent that was assembled, it was all wasted. We lost to the Steelers again. They had a third string quarterback, undrafted, named after an animal that quacks.
I'm so done. I'm in the rain, about to get pneumonia, I don't care. You know what's funny? I just looked at that garbage can right there, and instantly I thought of the Browns. I'm sick and tired of rooting for an organization that continues to let me down. I'm going to keep doing it, but I guess that just means I'm a moron. And speaking of being a moron,
okay,
I'm going to go jump in Lake Erie, because that's where ducks are. My feet are really cold. Holy cow.
This does sound like a guy who's lost.
I hate Browns. You did this to me, Browns. You did
this to me. That's a cry for help right there, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yes. It does seem like he separated from reality, which I get. And Baker Mayfield, right, who should be the greatest thing since sliced bread. Right?
Everybody. Yeah, his arm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not seeing his arm doing much.
All right, we got news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes.
The top five at five.
It's Row Giving. That's right. It's Giving Tuesday, right? So what we decided to do here is we decided to continue the tradition of giving. We're giving back to you. Back to you. The fine listener. And you for putting up with us, essentially, is what we're doing. And I got a $50 Lou Malnati's gift certificate right now. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200 rips us off. Lou Malnati's, the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. I cannot argue with that. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com.
I go with the Chicago classic butter crust, a little extra cheese, sausage. That's my go-to.
Yeah, the butter crust. You got to add the butter crust.
Yeah.
That's an add-on.
I like the Chicago classic. They do a sheet of sausage spread out. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Now, I got to say, that's the one thing with Malnati's. I, when I was younger, I used to do the sheet of the sausage. You know, you get a little older and you're like, I'll do the crumbled sausage, please. I would prefer that a little bit. But the spinach is great. I mean, it's the Lou Malnati's just got it figured out.
They know what they're doing.
They also do the sausage crust for the keto friendly out there. Keto friendly, whatever you call it.
Keto. That was a Green Hornets guy.
Yeah.
What happens there?
So the crust is just sausage.
What?
Oh, and then everything's piled on top of it. So there's no, and I've had it. And it's awesome because you don't completely feel like you need to go take a 4-hour nap or put the sweatpants on. Like, you know, you don't have the heavy dough and everybody's doing the keto now. Mm-hmm. So because it's a sausage crust and there's still cheese and everything piled on top, it's healthy.
You're right, sure.
It's keto friendly, folks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's delicious, though. I loved it.
That is the craziest thing I have ever heard.
You guys haven't heard of that?
No.
Yeah, it's no crust. The crust is this like the sausage like padded out on the pan, and then everything's piled on top of that. So the crust is sausage.
And does it come up around the pizza like the crust would?
Yeah, a little bit. Not as much as the crust would.
Yeah,
only sausage rises like that.
Does the cheese hold its integrity?
All holds together. It's beautiful.
I gotta try that next time.
Yep.
Oh, very interesting.
Give it a shot, and it's healthy again, folks.
Oh, sure. It's right, a gigantic frisbee of sausage that is holding your 6 gallons of cheese.
Perfect for those gluten-free people out there.
Yeah.
Keto-friendly. It's healthy.
Right.
So give it a shot. Give it a whirl.
I do like what they... And I like their salad dressing.
Yes. The loose salad is...
Yeah.
It's up there.
Right. The salad dressing at Lou Malnati's, their vinaigrette, they do something. I think they throw sugar in it, which is blowing your keto thing. Just want to let you know that.
Son of a...
Worth it.
Totally worth it. Hey, we want to invite you to Carnarvon Express on Friday. We are going to be live at the Tinley Park Convention Center. Live broadcast from 3 to 5:30. Then the Ides of March, a concert, full concert with the Ides of March. Afterwards, it's going to be a party. We're going to be there. The Lapkas are going to be there. Just to see them partying is something. Wait to see the grandmother. That's all I want to say. Is when she you know, has a couple of those little thimbles of wine, and the next thing knows, woohoo!
She cornered Roe at the Lapka family barbecue over the summer.
Yep. Very loving family.
Yes. There are door prizes, too. You could win stuff by coming out. And while we're asking, it's not tickets. You just show up. All we're asking is that you bring a toy. That's the only thing we're asking you to do. Hilton's of Chicago winter getaway package, memorabilia from the White Sox that's signed, tickets to the Blackhawks, tickets to a Broadway in Chicago's Corduroy playing at the Broadway Playhouse. I almost said Steakhouse. That's different. Tickets to see Casey and the Sunshine Band at the Four Winds New Buffalo, and tickets to the Museum of Science and Industry.
Corduroy Bear?
Yeah.
Love that book.
I used to read those all the time.
Great book.
Yeah.
Brings back some childhood memories.
And, yeah.
You should go see it.
I probably will now.
Stale just hot.
I didn't even know they had a play about that.
Yep, Corduroy's got its own play.
He's moving
up in the world. Right. Corduroy has an opiate addiction in this particular play, though, but he overcomes it. That's the Christmas story. No? Oh, that was the one they wanted to do. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Stories,
I'm confusing that. It's all presented by American Sale. Bring the fun home for the holidays. It's sponsored by Apple Chevrolet, Architect of Chicagoland, Hilton's of ChicagoDibs.com. That's one gigantic URL there. Hilton's of ChicagoDibs.com and Sweet Alley's gluten-free bakery.
I've done the Hilton Dibs thing, too. It's a great...
Oh, it's great. That staycation thing.
Yeah, it's a staycation in the city. It was awesome.
And here are the hotels that you have an option for, too. That you got the Hilton Chicago, which is just one of the great grand hotels in the world. You got the Drake, which is a beautiful, kind of, you know, almost like iconic, but almost, kind of, you know, royalty stayed there.
Yeah.
That's like the queen stayed there.
Yeah.
That's something special. And the one sneak hotel that I think people are sleeping on, as Kevin likes to say, is the Palmer House.
Don't sleep on
the Palmer House. The Palmer House is absolutely fantastic as a hotel.
It's really hard to go wrong, to be honest.
Right.
All great options.
Right, for sure. But the lobby... You walk up the stairs to the lobby of the lobby of the Drake is great too. When you walk upstairs, they got the lobby bar. But if you walk up the lobby at the Palmer House, it's like you're stepping back in time, and it's bright and beautiful and energetic, and that bar is constantly moving. It is just one,
especially during Christmas time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is just.
That's a way to treat yourself.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. And if you want to take a helicopter directly to a hotel, you can do that at the Hilton Chicago.
We had a great look at the helipad at Hilton Chicago.
Yeah, over the summer at the Hawks convention, yeah. We were up at some party up at the roof, yeah. And there was a helicopter pad out there. Right. We're trying to figure out how to get out of the helicopter pad,
which I believe a scene from The Fugitive was shot there.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. Richard Roper can tell you a story about that. He once had to take a helicopter off that helicopter pad to make it to an appearance. All right, that does it for us today because Northwestern University men's basketball is.